My name is Philip Atta Khosana. The history of my involvement in the story of our country dates back to 1960 when I was young and a student at the University of Cape Town.
My name is Gerald Shaw. I was a reporter on the Cape Argus in 1960.
At the time, the National Party had Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd.
Our policy is one which is called by an Afrikaans word apartheid. It could much better be described as a policy of good neighborliness.
They intended to uplift the poor white of those days. The blacks therefore represented a thorn. They needed to put them in their place. Now, some of the instruments that they were using, and this is where some of us come in, were the pass laws. A pass book must be on your person at all times.
Photographs are taken at the offices of the Department of Native Affairs. Daily, a large number turns up here for reference books. Each book contains the photograph of the owner, his name, race, and particulars of employment.
The accumulation of all these things resulted in the PAC, under the leadership of Robert Sobukwe, deciding that
on a certain date, PAC will launch its first non-violent campaign against the pass laws. My name is Mlamli Makwetu. I was part and parcel of the whole campaign.
The reason for the march first was to go and consolidate the opposition about the demand for the abolition of the pass laws.
I wasn't at Lungo when the march started. The news editor had sent me to see what was happening in Parliament, and I found armoured cars around Parliament, and they had set up machine gun nests and God knows what.
Tony Hurd, former editor of the Cape Times, and I was a reporter. And I found myself on the march with 30,000 Africans from Lunga.
Can you imagine that on the 30th of March, as we were entering the city, it was around midday, as you come Deval Drive, there is a place where you have these pine trees. That is where Roland Street starts as it leads down to Parliament. Now, I started feeling uncomfortable, especially when these naval fellows passed in their huge lorries with their armored cars, and I realized maybe after Sharpeville we are leading our people to another slaughter. We dare not get to Parliament.
All I know is they went to Callerton Square, and outside these big wooden gates, which I peeped through because I was trying to work out where I'd run if the shooting started, you just saw row upon row upon row of young white police with their Sten guns. Colonel de Blanche was in discussion with Kasana, and he said, "I speak to you as one gentleman to another." Then I became aware that they had brought a police megaphone, and Kasana was lifted on the shoulders of his colleagues.
Now I start telling people that the minister has given us an appointment. Now these things are very important to our people. I am seeing the minister this afternoon, and we are going to talk about your problem. Mm-hmm. Then you remind them that Sobukwe has said we are not at war yet. For the moment we are still talking, so allow me to go and talk.
Minister Frans Erasmus, he had instructed de Blanche that he should shoot the leaders of the march. De Blanche refused to do that. Erasmus sidelined him for the rest of his career.
He committed the government to the minister seeing Kasana. He said, "We'll come back later."
Kasana told them, "We're going back in peace." It is quite remarkable, the discipline of that crowd.
We walked all the way through the city, up Deval Drive. Not even some woman selling oranges or bananas was tampered with.
When they came back, I think later that day, they were arrested.
Here is a special announcement. The Governor General has proclaimed a state of emergency.
Then the curtain came down, and the emergency had at least 2,000 people, maybe many more, detained without trial.
The Prime Minister, Dr. Verwoerd, told the House of Assembly this afternoon that he wished to set the general public at ease.
It was a totally volatile moment in our history.
Dr. Assured the country that law and order would be maintained.
Imagine 60 liberated us and caused us to lose the fear of being jailed.